this story has a history, actually. Believe it or not, I've never actually read this out before. This got read out by Philip Schofield, who was filling in for me on the show, the way Phil would. I was off for a couple of weeks, and I'd always decided that this story was just a bit too much. Perhaps I wouldn't get away with it. But I left it in the pile, and Phil thought, right, well, I'll read it out then. And lo and behold, the BBC complaint log was chock-a-block. So if you're listening down there in the phone room, you're going to get busy. It all started with a story from Colin from Toaster in Northamptonshire. Dear Simon, this confession is aimed at an unknown Cornish farmer, we didn't stay long enough to find out his name, who lets a field out to campers. Four of us, Brett, Russell, Steve and I, pitched our tent in his field on one Friday, shortly before opening time. Well, at about 11 o'clock, they poured out of the village inn, and we were wobbling back up the moonlit lane, when Steve thought he'd sussed out a shortcut across the fields. Walking anywhere wasn't easy by then, but we climbed over the gate and set out across the grass. Cornwall, as you know, has got loads of abandoned tin mines, and we'd only gone a little way when we stumbled into a flimsy fence around a very big black hole. The fields were dotted with open shafts, and this one was a particularly large one. Then someone had the bright idea of seeing how deep it was, so we tossed the stone in and listened for the sound. Nothing. So then a rock gets lobbed in. Again, not a sound. So then Steve and I levered a boulder out of the ground and manhandled it over the edge. Again, not a peep. This was a big hole. We were determined, though, to find out how deep it was. But there isn't a lot lying around in your average field that's going to make a lot of noise. Then Brett and Russell discovered a railway sleeper and tossed that into the void. So we're all craning forward around the edge for some sound when suddenly this chain comes snaking through the grass between us and a goat with a clump of grass in its mouth goes flying straight past us and down into the hole. Obviously the farmer tethered the goat to the sleeper to stop it wandering down one of the shafts, but he hadn't banked on the sleeper going in first. The goat didn't even have a chance to bleat. That sobered us up right there. We left early the next day for Devon. No mines there, as far as we were aware. Yours guiltily, Colin. So there it is, the most famous confession. The goat confession, as it became known, and sorry tale. Okay, you can phone the duty officer if you want to complain. Let's go, though, first of all, to the Confessional Collective, see how they rate that confession, the story of the dead goat, which we imagine is dead anyway. Yeah, Sean?
Well, it's only a bit of drunken revelry, so forgive me.
Typical student, thank you. Jenny now.
Well, my family has got five goats, so I'd be in big trouble if I forgave.
So not forgiven?
I'm afraid not.
Okay, thanks. Magnus, then. Magnus next.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, well, no, I'm from Cornwall, so there's absolutely no way I can forgive him that.
So that's one tick and two crosses, so that's no forgiveness at all.
No.
Thanks, Magnus.
Okay.
And thank you, Jenny, and thank you, Sean, for being our Forgiveness Collective this week. And if you want to do it, Simon Mayo, 1FM, London W1N, 4DJ.